Hi there, this is Darren Spooth, pastor at First Baptist in Tulsa, and recently we have started a teaching series on the book of Revelation, and there's so much to the book of Revelation that there's no way that we can pack everything that I want to talk about into a 30-minute message on Sunday morning. So throughout this teaching series in September, October, and November, we're going to record a series of podcast extras. Right now, looking at about four or five additional podcasts just to add a little bit to the meat in our understanding of the book of Revelation. So with me here in the studio is our beloved worship minister, Jeff Elkins, friend, colleague, and cigar aficionado.
Oh my goodness. Mom, that's not true. I am thrilled to be here. This is a great topic, and I'm glad to be a part of this podcast. And just start off, you don't mind, Darren, but we've been here together for many years, coming up on 16 for me, or coming up on 17. People have been asking for this study for a long time. Seems to be the most popular request for you to preach on. Why now?
Yeah, and so the only time I would say I've had a failed teaching series experience was early on Wednesday night. People were asking me to do Revelation, so I said, fine, we'll study Revelation on Wednesday night. We got through about Revelation chapter 4 or 5, and we just bogged down, and I said, We're quitting. I can't do this anymore because I really didn't have the chops at the time to interpret Revelation. So I just put it on the back burner for years. Then last year, we were moving my daughter into college, OBU. Some guys like to go into the showroom and look at all the cars. If I see a library, I want to go in and look at all the books. If I see a bookstore. And I found a book called Reading Revelation Responsibly. Love the title. And that has set me on a pilgrimage of about the last year, intentionally and intently studying the book of Revelation. And what it's done is it's given me a lens through which to view Revelation in a clearer way that I would have never guessed, because I made the mistake that many people do, and that is I try to read it as a 21st century Western Christian. Mm-hmm. Well, the book of Revelation was not written to a 21st century Western Christian. It was written for a first century Hebrew mindset. So I have to step back in time, interpret it through that lens, and surprisingly, Revelation becomes clear.
Well, everyone's anticipating different things from the series. I think you've already disclaimed the sermon. It's not going to be a lot of weird stuff.
No.
A lot of charts.
We're not inviting Kirk Cameron in. I'm not going to,
Are you serious? I thought he was going to make the trip.
He might. We could invite him if you want to.
I'm just kidding.
We're not going to identify the Antichrist. I'm not going to give a date to the end of the world. None of that's going to come into play.
But it is something that, for myself personally, would love to get a clear understanding of this. And I think our church and our community are very excited about hearing this series. And we already talked about it. You have made an attempt to teach it. But what are folks' common reaction to the book of Revelation? What do they think about it?
So I see three reactions whenever I've talked to people over the last few months and said, hey, we're doing this. Three reactions. Number one, people get afraid. Revelation is filled with frightening imagery of beasts and dragons and 666. And so they anticipate coming into the book of Revelation with a fearful attitude. I would say just the opposite, that this book is going to be a comfort to people, surprisingly. Some people are just downright confused. If there's one book of the Bible that we are unashamed of saying, I don't know, it's the book of Revelation. But understanding it as a first century Hebrew would read it, it moves from confusing to very, very clear, surprisingly. And then there are those people that get obsessed with Revelation. That's the third response to Revelation. In fact, there's a phrase for a person who is obsessed with imminent disaster. They're called apocaholic. We think of alcoholics, but an apocaholic is a person who just is obsessed with the end times. And I'm going to invite people, if that's who you are, don't come to this teaching series, because we're not going to be taking that kind of obsessive bent toward Revelation.
Well, I hope they're not disappointed if they do step in, because I know folks just like that are kind of amped about the series. So hopefully we'll hook them with something very different. What would you say the keys for understanding and interpreting Revelation properly? How do we do that the right way?
So I'm going to answer this in two ways. First, as a student of the Bible, and then as a lover of God. Here's a couple of things that we really need to remember to interpret Revelation properly. As a student of the Bible, you always need to take into context the genre of Scripture. You can't interpret poetry the same way you interpret prose. You can't look at prophecy the same way that you would read one of the letters in the New Testament. You have to take into account that type of literature. And what makes Revelation challenging is it is a merging of three different kinds of literature into one book. So it has characteristics of an epistle or a letter.
Mm-hmm.
There are some parts of Revelation where Jesus is addressing a church very directly. But there are other parts of Revelation that have to deal with prophecy. And so these sections are highly symbolic, and you can't interpret them in the same literal context as you would a letter. And then on top of that, we're going to come back to the word apocalyptic again. There's apocalyptic literature, and if you're looking in the Bible, the book of Daniel is another example of this. And it's a very strange kind of literature. I would call it prophecy on steroids, that you can't even interpret it the way you would interpret prophecy. So as you go through the book of Revelation, you see all these genres flowing in and out of one another. And so you have to look at each passage and sometimes each sentence. What kind of literature am I dealing with? And that helps me to interpret it. Now, on a more spiritual level, as a pastor, I believe the key interpretive link of Revelation for us understanding Revelation is Jesus Christ. In fact, the very beginning of the book says, this is the revelation from Jesus Christ. In the Greek, it also reads, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And I'm going to make a really big statement here, but I believe it with all my heart. If we study the book of Revelation and don't have a clear understanding of Jesus Christ at the end, then we are reading it wrong. In fact, if we are looking for anything in the book of Revelation other than Jesus Christ, we are reading that book in an improper way.
Wow. Man.
I threw it down right there.
You did. That's exciting.
That is. So really, what the book of Revelation should do is the same thing all the other parts of Scripture do, and that is help us to understand the love of God through Jesus Christ in a clearer way.
Fantastic. This is going to be great.
Hope so.
Well, talk to us about symbolism, the symbolism of numbers in the book of Revelation. This sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, so this is the part that I wanted to get to on Sunday morning specifically, and just time, I don't think, would allow it. So, you know, we still use numbers as symbols all the time, but it's so obvious to us, we just don't think about it. So when we look at somebody and we say, you know, you're number one.
Right.
You know, we don't mean literally they're a number one. We mean that they're the best in
yes.
the field. So we look at, not that we've ever done this before, but sometimes men look at women.
Yes.
And we say, she's a 10.
I haven't heard this before.
Have you not, Jeff? Come on. I'm your pastor. I can see right through you.
My wife is an 11.
There you go. That's exactly what's... So see, that number right there is a symbol. She's not an 11, but you're telling me something about how
yes.
she looks, and that number is a symbol. Or, you know, we say, give me 5.
Right.
Well, you're not giving me 5. Literally, we correspond that with our fingers, and that means give me a high five. So we use those numbers without even thinking about it, and I would contend if we could go back in time as an early Hebrew Christian, these numbers in Revelation would communicate something to us that we have to stretch a little bit, but to them it was just plain and obvious. So let me roll through a couple of numbers.
Okay.
The number 7 is always a divine number, and this probably goes back to Genesis, where God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days, and of course on that 7th day he rested. But 7, every time you see that in the book of Revelation, it is a divine number. So early in the book of Revelation, it talks about the 7 spirits of God around the throne. Well, God doesn't have 7 spirits. What it is saying there is the fullness of the Spirit of God is there at the throne. There are the 7 letters to the 7 churches. The book of Revelation has 7 visions in total. In Revelation 6, there's the 7 seals that are broken to bring about God's will. So it's the perfect, complete part of God's will. It's God's will in its fullest. So that number 7 is a pretty important number. Then if you subtract 1 from 7, I know I'm asking for high math here, Jeff. I mean, if
I'm going to go with 6.
You are. Way to go, Jeff.
Thank you.
So that would be one short of perfection, and that would be the number of man. That would be the number of sin. So we get the number 666, which is a repetition of that imperfection. So anytime you see the number 6 in Revelation, it has a tie there. The number 4 is the number of creation, and we still use that. We talk about the four corners of the earth.
Right.
And Revelation talks about the four corners of the earth. There are four creatures around the throne in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. So it represents all creation around the throne. One more number. Hope I'm not giving too much. The number 10 shows up a lot in the scripture, and especially in Revelation. And it's that picture of completeness. So, you know, we have the Ten Commandments.
Right.
When a baby's born, we say they have 10 fingers, 10 toes. So you'll find the number 10 in Revelation quite a bit. 10 times 10 times 10 is 1,000. And so we often talk about the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Really, it's just a factor of 10 representing the perfect period of Christ's reign in heaven and on earth. Too much?
No.
Okay.
Maybe for me, but not for the general person.
You did good on the math, too. I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
I do want to mention one more number. Is the number 12. That's an important number in the book of Revelation as well. Now, if you think about it, in the Older Testament, there were 12 tribes. In the New Testament, Jesus chose 12 disciples.
Right.
So 12 is a number that means the people of God.
Okay.
So if you go 12 times 12, you have 144 times 1,000 is 144,000. So when we get to the 144,000 in the book of Revelation, it is not talking about a literal number. I believe it represents all of God's people gathered together worshiping Him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I think it's important to say, as I've gone through all this numerology, and you have to be careful about reading too much into this.
Yeah.
Numbers, there's not a Bible code, but these numbers are symbols that I think we need to take at face value. But if a person disagrees with me on some of these interpretations, it really doesn't bother me. In fact, I would encourage people to search and not take my word for it and try to think biblically. But if what we hold in common is the book of Revelation will lead us to a clearer understanding of Jesus Christ,
yes,
then we have more in common than we do, more in common than what divides us.
I love that, because there are some strong opinions on the book of Revelation, some passionate opinions, but if we can point folks to Christ as the central figure, then I think we're in agreement.
Absolutely. And so, you know, what I'm going to say throughout this teaching series is the book of Revelation is not about a timeline. It is about the timeless truth of Jesus Christ.
That's good.
And so however God decides to do the end times, I'm really okay with that, you know. And so, but I also, at the same time, I have this drive as a pastor to try to interpret the Bible as clearly as I know how.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what you will hear in this teaching series.
Excellent. Well, as we wrap up, do you have any final words or thoughts as we move towards the weekend?
Well, I think the book of Revelation is unique in that, as far as I know, it's the only book of the Bible that gives us both a blessing and a warning. So at the very beginning, there's a blessing. Blessed is the one who reads these words of prophecy and takes to heart. So there's a unique blessing that just comes with reading. Even if we don't fully understand it, reading what God's plan for us is and His love in Jesus Christ. And and here's the big statement I'll use throughout the teaching series. The book of Revelation is a radical invitation to worship Jesus Christ alone. And so there's a blessing when we hear that and when we do that. But the book of Revelation also comes with a warning. At the very end, don't try to add to these prophecies. Don't add to this, don't subtract, because if you do, there's going to be problems. So in light of that warning, everything I teach I'm going to hold very loosely. Again, and I know I'm saying this repeatedly, but I think it bears repetition, that 20 years from now, I may look at the book of Revelation very differently. In fact, I probably will. If I'm still growing and learning, I will. And if God decides to do things radically different from my expectations, He's God, I am not. But I'm a pastor, and so I want to interpret this the best way I know how.
Yeah.
And if we fall in love with Jesus more, I think it's a win for all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very good. Well, good word, Darren.
All right. Well, thanks for sitting with me for a little while, Jeff.
I've enjoyed it.
Yes.
Very much.
What is, just briefly, what is your reaction to the book of Revelation? Did you think I was crazy when when I said we were going to do this teaching series?
Yeah, I couldn't believe you. To me, it was like Darren has caved. But to know that you've had a little enlightenment and a deeper understanding of the book of Revelation, it's very exciting. And I also know that, you know, you've done a little Bible study this summer, and the folks that are in the choir are so fired up. I've never seen them react the way they had to your teaching, and they're excited for the series that's about to happen.
And I would say that has been helpful to me, and I want to say thank you to the couple of hundred people who joined me on Wednesday night to study this in advance. And this is only the second time I've done this, that in a smaller setting, we've studied a portion of Scripture together, and then we've rolled it out on Sunday morning. But just the sitting with it for a while. I'm a big believer. I love the crock pot. You can put a piece of meat in there, and it'll stew all day, and it's just better for that. So I've been in the crock pot this summer of Revelation, and I'm stewed in it right now.
Yeah.
And so I hope that will bear fruit in the quality of teaching.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
So enjoy these podcasts. We'll probably do another installment in a week or two and add a little more meat to the book of Revelation. Till then, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face to shine upon you, and grant you peace, now and forever. Amen.